welcome Ken Dodd.
My Lord Mayor, Lady Mayoress. My gracious Lord Mayor, good gracious Lady Mayoress.
But I'd like to say how tickled I am. Well, also I said how tickled I am. Did you see that?
I'll do it again. This lady seems to like it. Put the binoculars away now, dear. You're looking down the wrong end anyway. My age, that's all I need.
Now, be honest, lady, is this the first time you've seen a Chippendale? I'd like to say how tickled I am, how completely discombobulated, how full of plumptiousness to be here tonight, an audience with LWT, LWT, a long wait for a titter. This... Now, ladies and gentlemen, what an audience, we've got a special audience. Now, I think it'd be a good idea, we watch you coming in, you know, we peep through the curtains, we saw you all staggering along the South Bank, all using your inhalers, elastic stockings flapping in the breeze. And I stand here now on this stage and look, can you imagine what's going through my mind? What a challenge. Honestly, I've seen happier looking bloodhounds. Do you know, I think it'd be a good idea now if all the ugly ones came down and sat near the front. You have. Good. Well, this is now. As you know, folks, as a special concession, people with big ears were allowed in half price. Congratulations, sir. Do you know, I've been looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to you all day today. Give me an idea of the sort of life I live. 5 o'clock this morning in Nottingham House, I flung the bedroom windows open, climbed in. I thought, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful day for doing something wild and sporty, like ramming a brush stave up Nigel Mansell's trousers and saying, how's this for pole position? For taking all your clothes off, strapping your legs around the back of your neck and shouting, how's this for an oven-ready turkey? Ready when you are, Bernard Matthews. Yes. What a beautiful day for going up to a kilted Scotsman, standing over a puddle and saying, I see it's a full moon again, Jock. Yes. Just to think we're all going to spend the next 7.5 hours listening to stuff. Right? Right? Oh, yes, we are. Oh, yes, we are. Oh, yes, we are, Mrs. You said you could do it and you wrote in. You see, time, ladies and gentlemen, time doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. This is the way I look at it. Time matters not one jot. Let's all say that together. Time matters not one jot. Time matters not one jot. I'll ask you again in about 6 hours' time. There's one thing about my shows, folks. You always go home in the daylight. I've got to tell you, this studio has all been completely computerized. Oh, yes, we've all gone digital. Yes, all your statistics and personal details are noted on this computer. When you came in through the security... Hang on, I'll just get it for you. This, when you came in this evening, you walked through a security screen. Oh, yes, you passed. Did you feel a tingle as you came in, Mrs.? It should have gone right through to your corsets. You did. Well, come and see me after the show. Just make sure you're properly earthed. This. Here are all the computer statistics of our audience here at LWT. In the audience, somewhere there, we've got 7 bricklayers, 6 carpet fitters, 2 taxi drivers, and a double glazing salesman. There he is over there talking to himself. You'll notice, then, you're all wearing barcodes, badges, barcodes. You know, barcodes are those little patterns you see stuck on packets of frozen sprouts. Yes. Yes. I'm sorry I looked at you then, so I'm... Now, what? What does your barcode tell me about you, sir? You, sir, the gentleman there. You, sir, you take a size 10 in hats, you have a bunion on your left big toe, and a cocker spaniel called Eric. Your hobbies are writing rude words on steamed-up car windows and taking your trainers off in crowded lifts. It was your birthday last week, and all your friends clubbed together and bought you an old-fashioned bed warmer, a 68-year-old chorus girl. Are you all in a good mood? Good. Now, right now, I need your support. I need the loyal oath. Could we have the loyal oath, please? Because hands on your hearts, please. Everybody, hands on your hearts. Yes, your own heart, if you don't mind. Everybody now, everybody in the seat, repeat after me. We the audience.
We the audience.
At LWT.
At LWT.
Solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
Flip a neck.
Flip a neck.
That we will never ever ever.
Never, ever.
Repeat or reveal.
Repeat or reveal.
Any of the new jokes Ken Don might tell us tonight. Now that is not, come on, please. What a galaxy day. The last time I saw so many stars was when I banged my head on the mangle. Our first star question tonight comes from the lovely Hannah Gordon, an actress of many parts, all of them in beautiful condition. Hannah Gordon. Are you there, Hannah?
Yes, I'm here. Ken, I would like to ask you if you actually came from a show business background. Were you a funny child?
Listen, when I was a little baby, I'd like to tell you a story of my life. If you've got 5 or 6 hours to spare, I'll tell you the story of my life. I'm going to say something now, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be flabbergasted. Really, you will. You'll say, my, we can hardly believe that. I wasn't a pretty baby. My. Oh, come on, be a bit more convincing, will you? No, I was plain. I was plain. I'd embroidered on my bib this way up. I was an ugly baby. Very ugly. I was the only baby in the street whose dummy had a 12-inch flange. My father put shutters on my pram. My dad knew I was going to be a comedian. When I was a baby, he said, "Is this a joke?" I was a bottle baby. Then one day I pushed the cork out and escaped. Do you know, I could walk when I was 6 months old. My granny opened the front door and said, "Go on, hop it." When they took me out of my pram, people used to flock for miles. They thought it was a mobile Punch and Judy show. And that's how I started into show. I came into show business. I was with John Hansen in The Desert Song. I was second hump on the camel. For a while, I was Albert Tatlock's stuntman. At the age of 8, I had my own flea circus until my mother stopped me playing with the lad next door. Then I'm ready for another question, ladies and gentlemen. And over here we have a very distinguished British actor of stage and film, James Fox. Can I be blunt? No, of course, you were. No, sorry. That's brilliant.
Ken, I've read that it's your ambition to play every live theatre in the country. Do you have a favourite theatre?
Yes, I do. They're all my theatres, I'm sure, like yourself. All theatres are beautiful. There's the temples of show business, of course, in London. There's the Palladium, and there's beautiful theatres in the north, in Blackpool and Newcastle and Scotland. Is there anybody in from the north?
Yes!
Anybody in from Lancashire?
Yes! Oh,
well, you'll recognise tripe when you see it. Anybody in from Yorkshire?
Yes!
Oh, heck, you're not able to sit near the door. That's in case there's a collection. There's nothing wrong with Yorkshire folk, is there? Yorkshire born, Yorkshire bred, strong in the arm. As I say, this is an educational show, you know. When you go out to be here tonight, you say, "Well, that's taught me a lesson." At one time, there was only Noel Coward and me doing this sort of stuff. But once he'd packed the accordion up, that was it. I was in like a shot. And I do draw, rather like a mustard blaster. I do. When I was a little lad, hear my wheeze. when I walk down the street, people think I'm following them in an accordion. But when I was a little boy, my old granny, she used to, when I go to school, she used to stick a mustard plaster on my chest before I went to school. It's embarrassing. All the other kids used to wipe their ham sandwiches on. This is a very intellectual audience here tonight. In here tonight, there's an IQ of about 188. Between them, of course. I got some marvellous education news last week. It was Tuesday this week. I came downstairs to get the post, which is a good trick in a bungalow. And I picked it up and I found they've informed me by letter that I've won a prize in the Reader's Digest draw. No, I've nearly won a prize in the Reader's Digest. Not only that, but my name was specially selected from all the other people I think. Well, you're actually looking at a person who's going through to stage two. And I'm going to America with Hoover. Yes. I may be going to Scunthorpe with Electrolux, but I don't know. That isn't confirmed. Even in a marvellous magazine, folks, the Reader's Digest, a mine of useless... I like reading it. I love reading the medical articles. I'm potty, anything medical. I wasn't always. I used to think a placebo was a Spanish singer. But this... Here's one I bet you didn't know. Did you know that a dog whistle is so high, the human ear hole can't possibly hear it? Your dog's probably sitting at home now in the kitchen, whistling his blooming head off. And you're just sitting here in LWT, laughing hysterically. Ish. Oh, I bet when you get back home tonight, you know, your dog will be in the kitchen, your dog will say to you, I've been sitting in the kitchen all night, whistling my head off. You haven't taken a blind bit of notice. Anyway, the back door was bolted, so there it is. This. What's that, man? You're not bothered because you've got a cat flap. Oh, absolutely. Do you mean personally or at home? I'll be good for the cats, because that's how we'll find our way back home tonight, you know? Or tomorrow morning, or when this seminar finishes. Not following a ginger Tom. No, I'm talking about the cat's eyes. The cat's eyes in the centre of the road. The cat's eyes in the centre... This is rather pleasant, this. The cat's eyes... And that was a Yorkshireman who invented that, you know, the cat's eyes, by accident. One night, you see, this Yorkshireman, he's driving home at night in his big posh car, in the dark, and suddenly, in the car's headlamps, he sees his cat's eyes coming towards him. Now, had the cat been walking the other way, it would have invented the pencil sharpener. But there you are. We have another brilliant British actor, ladies and gentlemen, in the audience. A wonderful man, Mr. Martin Jarvis. He was in the famous film Chariots of Fire. He played a wingnut. His biggest success of all was in the famous West End play, The Barefoot Contessa, when he played a verruca. This... What's on your mind, Martin, besides libel?
Well, talking of plays, Ken, you had a success, I believe, when you played Malvolio in Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. And yeah. I wonder, have you any further plans to appear in straight plays?
Yeah, yes. Well, you know what it's like, son. You can't get the plays, can you? They're not writing, are they? No. Where are the great plays still being written, Martin?
You know? Well, there you are.
Well, we must do it ourselves, then, mustn't we?
Eh? Why not?
Why not? Let's write a play tonight, couldn't we? We could write a play between us, couldn't we? Yeah. We're all the right people. If we put our heads together, we can make a plank. I could be a villain. I could sue, honey. Well, I could do some villainous things, you know. At the end of the month, I always go down to the bottom of the garden, wait until the tortoise gets there, then turn it round the other way. I can do some pretty swinish things, you know. When it's pouring with rain, I love to ask policemen the time when they're wearing their bike cape. I close my eyes in the middle of wedding photographs. And when I'm at home, I deliberately leave the seat up. Yes. 10:30 at night, I always get the dog's lead down from behind the door and then don't go out. Now, this play is based on the film Futile Attraction. And, you know, you've seen it, Futile Attraction, and there's this woman, she's obsessed by me. Naturally, of course. I am a matinee idol. I do very little in the evenings as well. This woman, she's a psychopath. I realise that when I see her riding her bike on the pavement. Please. Come on, you got in for nothing. There I am in the south of France, Monte Carlo, playing dominoes at Prince Rainier. I say, are you knocking, Your Highness? I go back to my beautiful French villa. I'm sitting in bed in my Austin Reed pyjamas, sitting there on the waterbed. Last night we left it switched on and we were nearly poached. I say we, because now I have this beautiful, tall French girl. She's standing on the balcony, framed in the French windows. The moonlight is dancing in her hair. The moonlight dancing in her hair. Oh, and then her. She's wearing a Diphanius nightie. It's a fashion term, sir. I got that out of a lady out of a magazine. Diphanius, it means semi-shufty. It's rather like buying a ham shank at the co-op, you know, wrapped in mutton cloth. It looks very tasty, but you can't quite get at it. This... She Because I could murder a bowl of cornflakes, and that's when I realised she's a serial killer. And let's... Oh, come on. Let's have another question, Leighton, from one of my favourite glamour girls tonight, Leighton, Molly Sugden.
If you had the opportunity to have a really good part in a feature film...
Oh, yes.
..but it meant taking off your clothes... ..would you do it?
Well, I do have a good part for that sort of... I don't know, it's Molly. You don't watch films like that, do you? Have you got a satellite dish? Have you tried Channel 27? Yeah, it's all got channel blocked, but you can't see them, but you can hear them. Hey? Ooh, ah, hee, hoo, oh. I think they must be lifting a very heavy wardrobe. I saw one of those continental sexy films of the night. It was a Swedish film, and this couple, this man and this lady, they were wrestling. You know, they were wrestling. They were all shiny. I think they'd been rubbing themselves with Trex. And the subtitles were so you can understand the plot. Subtitle. He says to her, he said, "More smuggy to get us, more smuggy to get us. Well, whatever, got it." She said, "More smuggy to get us, more smuggy to get us." She said, "More smuggy to get us, more smuggy to get us." And the subtitle comes along the bottom. Can you smell gas in here? We have in the audience a gorgeous lady renowned for her beauty, her brains, as the star of that wonderful programme, Tomorrow's World, Miss Carol Vorderman. Such a brilliant intellect. She can do Chinese takeaways in her head. Carol, we both share the same love of mathematics.
Yes.
And I... After the show, I'd like to present you with a copy of my new book, Teach Yourself Accountancy. I mean, based on my personal experience, it's called The Mysterious World of Numbers.
From back to front. Yet I'm heavily into science and also science fiction, and not a lot of people know this, but you once appeared in Doctor Who, did you not?
Doctor Who, yes.
Yes. Are you heavily into science fiction?
Oh, yes. Sci-fi, yes. Mm. Oh, yes. I saw this science fiction film in our house the other night. It was all about this astronaut. This astronaut, he shot up into space. He went three times around the galaxy. He brought the spacecraft back to Earth. He swooped low over the Bernard Manning Memorial Sewage Farm. This astronaut, he shot up into space, as I say, and he looked through the porthole window, and he couldn't believe his eyes, because he was 100 years into the future. 100 years in the future, and everything on Earth had changed. There were no roadworks on the M6.
Oh, stop it, you go too far.
Not on the M6, you won't. Our show this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is graced by the presence of a renowned concert artiste. A star of many platforms, as those of you who travel from King's Cross or St. Pancras will know. Dame Hilda Brackett. Dame Hilda.
Kenneth, dear, delight to be able to ask you a question. Now, look at me when I'm talking. Has your voice been trained? And did you ever nurture a wish to go into grand opera? You do so well, dear.
Yeah, thank you, Miss Chamberlain. Well, actually, Chamberlain, I have had my voice trained. They put newspapers down for it, and I can actually cover 5 octaves. I've had my legs stretched. I don't know about opera, I don't know, because opera is very confusing. Opera is where a man gets stabbed and instead of bleeding, he sings. I like singing, and I think singing makes you happy. And I like happy songs. And you like happy songs, don't you? Yes. So, maestro, have you any ha-ha music? Ha-ha, ha-ha. Come on, girls, here we go! Ha-ha, ha-ha. Mrs., are you laughing at something I've said or something he's done? I can't take credit for another lad's work.
When I'm courting you, will you answer?
Start the car!
Just one cornetto.
Oh, I'd like to give it to you.
There with the band of a spurious tone and the cornet, clarinet, and big trombone, fiddle, cello, strike the tune, and Barbary has in a trance. All together on the floor, we'll dance till you eat small man, suck a lemon if you can, if you can't, suck a lemon, suck a lemon, if you can. I've got a cum, boil a soup, make a bellyache, a pain in me left side, a pimple on me. On the road to Manhattan, where the frying chip shops pay, that's the wrong way to tickle men. That's the wrong way to go. Auntie Mary had a canary.
Please. This is classical music.
Oh, la 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 la.
Idle eater, I wasn't no farmer, I don't know how. La Donna Mobley, translated. Does anybody want to buy a lady's bike? Sorry, I thought you'd stalled. Sorry. Have you got a set of jump leads on you, sir? You have, but you're using them.
Madonna Mobile, well, pure malvento, mutata cento, hey, sempiero.
For he on shut the floor, you hang on shut your face.
Woman is beautiful, give her a dito. Hold her waist tightly, do it twice nightly. Spaghetti bolognese. Oh. And I'll have cannelloni too. Vincetto, Vincetto, Vincetto,
Molti amore, sempre amore. Molti amore, sempre amore, cannelloni cappuccino. Molti amore, sempre amore, la Villa Masala. Molti amore, sempre amore, chicken chicken. Molti amore, sempre amore, Vindaloo.
Spaghetti bolognese, spaghetti whoops. Sorry, we are closed. Sorry, we are closed. The restaurant is closed. Go away, try my don't. The restaurant is closed. The chef is gone on. The chef has got a haddock. No, not a haddock. They got a haddock here. It's a very, very bad haddock. It's a very bad. It's a very serious. He no come back. The chef yet is on cooking. He had the salmonella poached. Ooh, he got the chippy tum.
Cuando caliente el sol aquí en la playa, siento el cuerpo vibrar cerca de mí. Es tu palpitar, es tu cara, es tu pelo, son tus besos, me estremezco. Oh, cuando caliente el sol. Love me with all of your heart, that's all I want to love. not at all. Just promise me this, that you'll give me all your kisses every winter, every summer, every fall. When we are far apart, or when you're near me, love me with all of your heart, as I love you. Don't give me your love for a moment or an hour. Love me always as you've loved me from the start. Love me with all of your heart. Cuando caliente el sol. Cuando caliente el sol. El sol.
Oh, my God, there's a wonderful atmosphere in here tonight. Just like a clinic. This, friends, because I feel I can call you friends now. Not for much longer. Friends. Tonight, you see, tonight's Ticklemas Eve. Tonight's Ticklemas Eve and tomorrow's Ticklemas Day. I've had them especially re-fluffed. You know, the lettuce, you're going to get it. Ticklemas Eve. This is why I'm wearing my hurry furry coat. Genuine moggy skin, this, ladies. Moggy skin, pussycats. Took 28 moggies to make this. All Toms. It's full of life, this coat. I've got a pair of underpants made of the same stuff. Moggy skin, long johns. When I walk down our street, people say, ah, oh, hairy comms. Hairy comms. It's a joke. Well, that's definitely a joke. It is a joke. I recognise them. That's what we professional humorists, what we call a shaft of wit. And this is... Well, that's something similar, sir. Right, this, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a gentleman in the audience, ladies and gentlemen, over here. Give my respect. you get these suits by sending away the tops of 12 birds custard packets. A young man over here, ladies and gentlemen, a man who works miracles. The world's greatest wizard, Paul Daniels. Paul Daniels. A magician who is so small, the rabbit keeps dragging him back into the hat. Yes. Paul Daniels, he's working very hard now on his most spectacular and difficult illusion, how to make David Copperfield disappear. Yes. Paul, amaze me with your question.
What's that old bastard doing on the stage?
I'm trying to get laughs. This is a prop basket, you know, Paul. You were probably born in one of these, a much smaller one, of course. This, I haven't heard that one before. This is an old prop basket. It's full of props. Comics. All comics love props. Here, for instance, here's the jester's cowl. Now, the jesters all wore these in the fools of the Middle Ages, as opposed to a middle-aged fool, and they... Has a comical effect. The ladies are laughing already. This. They know it reminds them of a donkey. This. Sometimes I wish it was a donkey. Only sometimes, of course. This. You see, the jester had a fool's license. You know, he could do anything like it. He used to go around hitting the king and all the noblemen over the head with his bladder. And it was very funny if he'd been on the lager the night before. This. Yes, all this. This is a slapstick. Two pieces of wood, see? Slapstick. And that's a jester's. That's where the expression comes from, the slapstick. And the red hot poker. Won't bother with that. This. This is my favourite prop. This the great drum of Notty Ash. Eh? A little bit of classical music. Come and join us, silent night. Softly, softly. Oh, I love a drum. You can't beat them. Well, you have to, actually. I never go anywhere without my drum. I love dashing into Tesco's and shouting, I want Fortons Up! For special offers I've had. And in an emergency. I mean, supposing you, ladies and gentlemen, were in a strange hotel in London. I know, we found one. And you find yourself in a strange hotel, and it's in the middle of the night, it's pitch dark, and you don't know where you are, and you can't see the time. Well, stick your drum out of the bedroom window. Go on, love, you've got a beauty. Bung your drum out and go. Somebody always shouts, who the hell's playing a drum at 3:30 in the morning? You have a very glamorous young lady here on the front row. You have a gorgeous girl who you can definitely count on. Well, up to two anyway. This Miss Samantha Fox is here. Hello.
Hi.
Ask me anything you like.
Okay, well, I will. Don't worry. My question's rather personal, really. I'd like to know where your tickle stick idea comes from, to be honest.
Tickling stick. Well, Samantha, yes. A lot of people think, you know, the tickling stick is a sex symbol, but I think it's a fallacy. And I... it's a jester's prop. It is. It's a jester's prop. Now, we've got another man here. We've got a man here who became the long-suffering husband of Hyacinth Bucket. And he's been dying to kick her ever since. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Mr. Clive Swift.
Ken, you are known as the Professor of Tickleology. And you've studied the psychology of humour. So please could you tell me, because I've been wanting to know all my life, what is a laugh?
What is a laugh? Well, a laugh, well, anatomically speaking, a laugh starts here in the middle of your diagram. It works its way up past through your clack and out through your titter valve. It's like an attack of wind, actually, but it's... A laugh is a noise that comes out of a hole in your face. Anywhere else, you're in dead trouble. But people... People laugh at all sorts of things. Some ladies laugh at little things. It's a pity, really, but there you are. It's... But for thousands of years, philosophers and psychologists, they've all tried to find the secret spring of laughter. Freud said that the essence of the comic was the conservation of psychic energy. But then again, Freud never played Second House Friday Night at Glasgow Empire. This... We've got a man over here, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a wonderful man over here who looks like Father Christmas with an attitude. It's Warren Mitchell.
Come on. Ken, I'd like to know, when you first came into this mad business of ours, did you have a comedian, a comic who was a hero that you wanted to model yourself on?
I did indeed, one. I modelled myself, and I was very lucky because I had great heroes to look up to. Wonderful, wonderful comedians of 40 and 50 years ago. Arthur Askey, Ted Ray, Max Miller, the great Max. Lovely. And Arthur Askey was he was a wonderful man. It was like a firework display going off. He had so much energy, and the greatest stand-up comic of them all was Ted Ray. What a wonderful man. He's had such charm, sophistication. I think the most lovable of all our great drolls must have been Rob Wilton, when he said, the day war broke out, the wife said to me, she said, why are you wearing that ridiculous uniform? He said, I'm guarding the White Cliffs of Dover in case we get invaded. She said, what, you? Oh, no, he said, there's five or six of us. He said, why are you wearing that ridiculous Home Guard uniform? He said, I've told you, he said, in case Hitler invades the White Cliffs of Dover. She said, well, how will you know it's him? You've said you're working in case Hitler invades. How will you know it's Hitler? Well, he said, I've got a tongue in my head, haven't I? And that is great comedy, isn't it? Thank you. In the audience, we're very lucky to have one of our best comedy talents, the lovely Josie Lawrence. Josie, what's
What's your line, anyway?
In these days of sexual equality, there's still more male comedians than female comedians. Now, would you agree that women can be as funny as men?
As funny? I know some very funny women. I mean, women are definitely funny. Only a woman would think of going to bed at night wearing a mud pack, hair in curlers, and then say, "Where's all the passion gone?" Only a woman on a Saturday night would think of hoovering when you're trying to listen to the football results. Liverpool 4, Arsenal... I see over here, ladies and gentlemen, my dear friend, my dear old friend. I don't know whether I can coax him into asking a question because he's so modest and shy and humble. Mr. Frank Carson.
Well, I just thought, Doddy, have you... have you ever thought of being politically minded? And are you politically correct?
Well, we've both got brilliant minds, Frank.
He's right.
I have thought of going into politics. Oh, yes, I have. As a matter of fact, to be honest, the job I fancy is Chancellor of the Exchequer. Well, at least I'd be reunited with my money. Frank, I refuse to tell ethnic jokes. This fellow went into a pet shop in Liverpool last week and he said, "Have you got any of them there Puerto Ricans? How is it? Have you any of your payment offices for green and yellow fellas?" He was from West Liverpool. The pet shop owner said, yeah, he said, "We've got some budgies." He said, How much are the little beggars? How much do you want them? He said, "They're £10. He said, £10. He said, £10. He said, "That's what I said, £10. He said, "How many you got?" He said, "I've got 100. Right, he said, "I'll take the lot." So he put a grand on the counter. He said, "Put him in an old cardboard box with some holes in," he said, "and I'll take him back with me." Now, when he got home, he'd have this beautiful waistcoat made. Oh, Frank, you're beautifully turned out. But this it was on cut moquette. It started here on the shoulders and went right down to his ankles. And it was, you've seen Joseph and his technical, but it was nicer than that. And all the way down, they had these pockets. There was two pockets here, two pockets, two pockets, two pockets, two pockets. And he put a little budgie in every pocket, you see? Every pocket had a little budgie in. And a curious little bird, you know, they're lovely little things. They kept popping their little heads out and waggling their little beaks. You do it for me, Derek. Oh, my God. He got on the train at Liverpool and went down to London. Got up at Euston, walked all the way to the post office tower, climbed to the top and jumped off. The waistcoat, the budgie in him, from Liverpool to London, trudged all the way to the GPO tower, clambered his way to the very, very, very top and hurled himself into space. Well, he just went on the deck. One of his pals rushed on. He said, Paddy, what the hell are you trying to do? I'll tell you one thing, he said. That budgie jumping is a waste of money time. London, wasn't always the capital. At one time, Britain was divided into two parts. I'm talking about BC, before Coronation Street. North, we had, that was ours, we were the roundheads and the squareheads. And down south, they had the Cavaliers. They're the ones with the velvet knickerbockers and the lace ruffs and the long wavy hair right down to their waist. Their patron saint was St. Francis Assisi. North, we were governed by King Dick of Wigan. Yes, Buckingham Palace in those days was in Plank Lane in Lee. King Dick of Wigan, he was the pretender to the throne. He used to go around saying, "I'm not really the king." I just like waving. He was arrested. Now, matters came to a head at the Battle of Watford Gap, behind the service area. This
Imagine their tactics. The cavaliers, velvet knickerbockers, they'd been hiding on the roof of the little chef for 3 days. Trying to get some. So, me going to battle with two bottles, not me, I'm wash and go. The air was filled with the sound of whistling and ricocheting black buttons, and then the Yorkshire Square Edge used the ultimate weapon, the mushy P-bomb. There's always a terrible fallout. When they transferred the match to Stamford Bridge, and then on, where they drew 3-0, and then on to the Battle of Hastings, and we all know the picture there, the Battle of Hastings, clash of sword upon sword, King Harold sitting bravely on his white charger, an arrow stuck in his eye. All his courtiers gathered around and saying, keep blinking, H, it'll work its way out. Have you tried blowing your nose? Yes. My dear little diddy friend, David Hamilton, is here, ladies and gentlemen. Over here. David, I remember the very first time I met you. It was at a wedding. You were standing on top of the cake.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question, Ken, if I may. You've created a great fantasy world. Knotty Ash, the Jambutty Mines, and, of course, the Diddy Men. Yes. How did it all start?
Well, I was a little boy, I used to read The Wizard and The Hotspur, you know, the Rover. And at the back, and in The Wizard, they always had advertisements for, Paul, you sort of started like that, itching powder, stink bombs, sea bacroscopes. That's a little thing, a mirror you put in your eye, and it's for an 8-year-old, it's essential because you can tell if an assassin is creeping up behind you. One day I read one of these advertisements. It said, fool your teachers, amaze your friends, send switchments and stamps, become a ventriloquist. So I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
He'll tell you. Stop it. Stop squinting. You give yourself a migraine. So you stick like that. That's how I started. So you've arrived?
Yes.
Pardon?
Yes.
Well, squeak up. You've got here?
Yes.
And you've walked all the way?
Yes.
Must be very tired?
Yes.
But you're glad to be here?
Yes.
It's for the kids. Can't you say anything else but yes?
Yes.
What is it?
No.
Well, if you've walked all the way, Dickie, you must be very tired and very thirsty.
Yes.
Would you like a big bottle of brown beer? Watch my lips. A big bottle of brown beer and some brown beret and butter or a shandy?
A shandy.
Good. Well, I'm very pleased to hear you say that. Now are you going to do the alphabet backwards? The alphabet, 26 letters of the alphabet. Are you going to do the alphabet backwards?
No.
Good, good. Well, I'll tell you what to do. Sing a little song for the ladies and gentlemen. What would you like to sing?
What do you know?
Just, don't mess about. Just sing a little song. What would you like to sing?
When the red, red logging comes, gog, gog, gogging.
Gog, gog, gogging. Are you taking the...
Yes.
Get on with it. When there are grey skies...
What don't you mind?
I don't mind those grey skies.
What do I do, Doddy?
You make them blue.
Glue?
Oh, blue.
You can't say glue.
I was asking you to say glue. I never said a word about glue.
I can say stick tight.
What has stick tight got to do with it?
It's glue.
I know it's glue! I know it is, I'll glue the song!
You're shouting.
I'm not shouting.
I'm soaking wet.
You're not soaking wet. Don't get out of it.
You're losing your rag.
I'm not losing my rag. Just get on with the song. There's no glue in this. It's a song about colours.
I can say green.
I don't even say green either. Get on with the song. Just do the song as is.
As is?
Yes, as is. As it is, as it was, as it was. It might. Do it. Just do the song as is.
As is. Yes. What's my name?
sunny boy. Friends may forsake me.
What can they do, Glue?
Let them all forsake me.
Who've you got in the end?
I still have you.
What is my name, Aziz?
Sonny boy. You're sent from heaven.
You're right, Cock.
I know your worth.
You're ugly. Close to.
You've made a heaven for me right here on earth.
I want to go to the gents.
They're not the only one. And then, when I'm old and grey, dear.
What do you mean, when?
Promise you won't stray, dear.
I'm gonna be sick.
I love you so.
What is my name, Aziz?
Sonny
Boy.
It's me, Mrs.
Omar Sharif.
Why not?
I've often been mistaken for his camel. Oh, tonight is romantic night, isn't it, girls?
Yes! Hey,
someone's on a promise. Oh, all over Britain tonight, romantic, frisky ladies, just like you'll all be sitting up in bed tonight and saying, Harry. Harry! All right, then, Charlie. I used to think I was marvellous in bed, then I found out all my girlfriends had asthma. I was so worried at one time, I thought I'd consult Dr. Ruth. You seen her, Dr. Ruth? She looks like a little prune. She talks like Sigmund Freud and looks like Clement Freud. I went round to Dr. Ruth's office, and what a woman. There she was, professional to the life, drawing moustaches on Pirelli calendars. And she said, come inside, she said, come inside. Where have you left your motorbike? Is it 500 cc's or 3? It doesn't matter. Size is not important. Talk to me, she said. I want to hear every mucky little detail of your grubby little mind. Tell me first, do you know the difference between men and women? I said, of course they're women. They're the ones with the squeaky voices who dance backwards. And keep asking for money. But do you know, she said, do you know how to charm a lady? How to charm a woman? Do you know how to make her feel? I said, of course I do. And by the way, you've got some spinach between your teeth. Are you a considerate partner at home? I said, oh, I always lift my feet up when she's hoovering. She said, do you know what an erogenous zone is? I said, I know you can't park there after 6 o'clock. Have you ever tried an aphrodisiac? I said, I went out with a Norwegian girl once. Said, do you believe in safe sex? I said, I've got a handrail around the bed. I always try to keep one foot in the ground. Look. She said, what about your libido? I said, I'm going to swap it for a Sierra. It's no good. Come on, let's serenade the girls with a continental song. Take me to your heart again. Let's make a start again, forgiving and forgetting. Take me to your heart. Do you know, that's the one word that terrifies men. Again. That's the one word that frightens the life out of a man. Again. Ladies these days are getting very, very domineering. Even a little bit bossy sometimes, aren't they, lads?
Yeah!
Come on, fellas, think about women these days. They're getting a bit too pushy, aren't they, lads?
Yeah!
Yeah! Well, we're not going to put up with it much longer, are we, lads?
No!
We're not going to do it, lads!
No!
as long as we knew what the battle plan meant. All over Britain. All over Britain. All over Britain at night. Men, big men, strong men, lying alone in bed, trembling with fear under the duvet. Don't leave me, Teddy. Big men, macho men, lying in bed, terrified when they hear cell block H finishing downstairs. And they know that she'll shortly be coming up for a spot of corrective training. Powerful men, husbands, has a man with the nerve taken out. Lying, fearful when they hear her getting ready for bed in the bathroom, gargling with Listerine. Terrified when they hear the Estee Lauder and the Avon going on. Strong men, terrified of that bathroom door opening and she who must be obeyed. Wearing one of those pink neglecteds. A transparent nightie. Standing there as if she's modelling for scatter cushions. Carrying a see-through hot water bottle. Forcing her attentions on him. Forcing her attention. You shouldn't do that, you ladies. You mustn't do that, girls. You mustn't surprise your husband like that. I mean, it doesn't give him time to think of anybody. You see, love and romance is different all over the world. In France, when a lady's having a romantic interlude, she looks up and she says, oh, sacre bleu. Oh, sacre flipping bleu. Woohoo, toujours l'amour, tonight for sure. In Italy, when a lady's having a romantic interlude, she looks up and she says, sempre amore. Molte amore. Sempre amore. In Britain, when a lady's having a romantic interlude, she looks up and she said, that ceiling needs doing there.
It's all gone flaky.
Well, you're untexted. How about a fitted wardrobe from B&Q? When are you going to do something about that shed? But our jobs need doing in this house and have needed doing for some time. I will have to get a man in. Oh. Colin, play me some romantic music. Soothe the situation. I don't know this one, it's very nice, isn't it? Transport us to a land of beautiful love songs. Who will ever remember Ivan Avello's I've caught my lilacs in the spring again? Beautiful romantic ballads that can set men's pulses racing. I can't get over a girl like you. Also, get up and make the tea yourself. There are tears on my pillow. The rest of the bed seems all right. I do have romantic moments. I was walking down the road this morning and this young lady came up to me. She said, hello, handsome. Can you tell me the way to the optician's? Well, I flatter myself. I get them very well, young people. As a matter of fact, they call me a Richard Head. And, hello, old Richard Head, they shout. Go off. Or words to that effect. The vicar said to me last Sunday, he said, Kenneth, isn't it wonderful to see the young people walking down the road carrying the good book? I said, they're taking their videos back then. They hire these blasted videos all about werewolves and vampires. Fancy anybody paying good money to watch somebody with long hair and big teeth. How does a man know when he's growing old? Comes on you all of a sudden, you know. It's all right for you, ladies. A man has to realise he's growing old. Little things tell him. Do you mind, please? A man's life is like a long journey. And during his lifetime, a man has to travel so many weary miles, down lanes, crossing plains, climbing mountains and fording rivers. And all the time during his life, a man is searching. Oh, he's searching for the truth. And then one day, everything starts to click. Your neck, your back. And you fall out of bed in the morning, you sound like a maraca band. And your wife's in the bathroom going, cha, 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 cha. You get no sympathy when you're not well. You're not going to be off work, are you? A man has to realise he's not as young as he used to was. in the autumn of his life, there are signs and posters that tell him you get out of breath playing chess. Your wedding suit comes back into fashion. You have to use both hands to clean your teeth. Oh, you still chase after girls, but you can't remember why. And your wife doesn't mind you chasing after girls, because she says, our dog chases after cars and he can't drive. You wake up one morning and find you got a bald-headed son. Your wife makes you wear dark trousers when you go out. You can't walk down the road like that. You can't go like that. Go and stand by the fire for 10 minutes. Go. Here, I'll use the hairdryer. All right. When you do go out, people start helping you onto the bus. When you just got off the bloody thing. Now, ladies never grow old, do you, girls? No. You look so beautiful tonight. And you always will look beautiful, ladies. Ladies are always beautiful. But you'll know you're knocking on just a little bit, girls, because at Christmas time, everybody gives you lavender bath tubes for Christmas. Your family start taking you home early from parties.
I'd like a snowball.
Well, you might hurt someone. You've got to go home now, Gran. You've got a big day tomorrow. You're having your feet done. You'll never grow old, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because you've all got lovely chuckle muscles. That's what keeps you young, you know, your chuckle muscle. And if you use and exercise your chuckle muscle every day and have a good old laugh, or better still, make somebody else laugh, you'll always stay young and frisky and healthy. But if you don't use your chuckle muscle, it dries up and drops off. Tonight, we've heard the most beautiful sound in the world, the sound of laughter and happiness. Forget all your troubles. I'm fully paid up now till 1975. Oh, then. You still write to me. They said they'd keep in touch. I got a Christmas card from them. It said, "'Tis more blessed to give than to receive." 200 years we've been paying this. Like 200 years ago, this barmy MP, he's sitting along there in Westminster one afternoon. He's got nothing. If you know what he thinks, I know, he said. I know. I'll invent income tax. And so he did. 200 years ago. In those days, it was tuppence in the pound. I thought it still was. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being a wonderful... Thank you. Thank you for being a touchy, hilarious and a bumptious audience. We wish you good health, the time to enjoy it, and lots of happiness!
Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that we possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness.
Here we go now!
To me, this world is a wonderful place. I'm the luckiest human in the human race. I've got no silver and I've got no gold, but I've got happiness in my soul. Happiness to me is ocean tide, a sunset fading on a mountainside, a big old heaven full of stars above. When I'm in the arms of the one I love, oh, happiness, come on, happiness, the greatest gift that we possess. I thank the Lord that we've been blessed with more than our share of everybody. Happiness, oh, happiness, oh, the greatest gift that we possess. I